Well,
today we are going.
Go ahead.
Today we are going to have our last session of our potpourri hour, I guess I would call it. And we have a special guest who we are going to be pleased to introduce. I'm going to let Glenn Crosby take it from here.
Thank you, Judy. And I want to thank everybody for being here all week for this segment of the retreat. And once again, we're going to be exploring a different topic than we've explored this week. So, you know, you're never too old to learn. And that's what we're doing here in a for this retreat. But also there are educational opportunities available to you that you can take advantage of in the comfort of your home. And they're specially designed to for blind students. And so we have a gentleman with us who can tell us all about the opportunities. His name is Mr. Mark Arneson, and he is with the Hadley Institute for the Blind. We're glad to have you, Mr. Arneson.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for the invitation and letting me join your week, your senior week this week. I want to compliment you on your pronunciation of my last name. That is probably the best I've ever heard it pronunciated, so thank you. My name is Mark Arneson. I do work at Hadley. All of that is true. I have been at Hadley for, gosh, almost 4 years now. So not that long. But what I get to do at Hadley is I get to, my job is really, my title is Director of Community, but my job is just meeting fascinating and interesting people and hearing their stories and, you know, understanding some of their challenges. And then I get to bring that back to Hadley, and we try to come up with a way that we can help. And usually the first time around, we're not so good at getting it right. So I oftentimes have to kind of go back and see how we did and, you know, make tweaks and improvements until we get it to a place where we feel like it's helpful. And then the other part of my job is to go tell as many people as possible about what we're doing. So I have to warn you, when I get a captive audience, I sometimes just keep talking. So please, if there's any questions, if I'm going over my time, don't hesitate to just jump in and tell me to stop, like take the batteries out. I always say, I'm like,
I'm sorry, Mr. Arneson. We usually wait until we have about 15 or 20 minutes at the end of the program. And we just take our questions at that time, if that's okay with you.
Perfect. Yes. Yes. That's perfect. Great. So a little bit about Hadley. We've been around for 100 years, actually 101 now. Last year we celebrated our centennial, and, We had big plans on how we were going to do that, but I guess the pandemic had different ideas. So we, nonetheless, we had our centennial celebration last year, which I thought was kind of cool in 2020, considering, you know, we do everything for those who are visually impaired and blind. So, but our founder, just a quick history, and then I can share what we're doing here at Hadley now. But our founder, William, he kind of started this whole thing back in, like I said, the early 1900s. He was blind himself. He lost his vision actually pretty quickly in his late 50s. He got sick, and it was right around the time of the swine flu pandemic. So what I had heard is he may have contracted that. He may have gotten sick from the swine flu, and it impacted his vision. He literally went from being completely sighted to totally blind over a weekend. And he was a Chicago public school teacher, had to stop teaching, but More than teaching, what he loved the most in life was reading. Like, that was his thing. He just, you know, we all have that thing that we just love to do. Well, reading and books were his, and he was a pretty educated guy. So he had this library that was just filled with books in English, Spanish, German, French. I mean, he spoke multiple languages, and obviously his vision loss impacted that. And so he decided to learn Braille. And back in the 1920s, there weren't a lot of people teaching Braille. And so he, even in the Chicago area where he lived, Winnetka, Illinois, where we're still located, just north of Chicago, he couldn't find anybody to help him learn Braille. And so he taught himself. And I don't know if any of you are familiar with Braille or have thought about learning Braille or have tried, or it's not an easy task. And even when you have help and people sitting there with you, but he did it on his own. And he kind of developed this conviction that he didn't want anybody else to have to go through that. Like, he wanted to be able to help anybody that wanted to continue to read with vision loss. He wanted to be able to help them read through Braille, regardless of where they live. And so the story goes, one night him and his doctor, who was also his ophthalmologist, also his neighbor, Dr. E.V.L. Brown, they were out on the porch one night, and they came up with this idea of Braille by mail. And so they were going to develop a curriculum, you know, assignments, and they were going to develop instructions, and they were going to send them out to anybody in the country that wanted to learn Braille. And a woman in Kansas raised her hand and said, I want to give this a try. And so they sent her the materials through the mail. She completed the assignment, sent them back. They graded it and just corresponded back and forth that way. And that's how it all started back in 1920. And since then, we've become one of the largest educators of Braille in the world. At one point, we had like 10,000 students across the world that were learning Braille through Hadley. And so that's our start. That's how we all got things going here. But since then, in the 100 years that have kind of been since he started this, we also started to develop what we called courses. And they were academic kind of courses, and you would enroll in them and you would have an instructor assigned to them. And from a distance, you would be sent materials and correspond with an instructor over like email, mail, phone, things like that. And you would learn different topics, things like, I don't know, you know, creating a marketing plan or anatomy of the eye or, like psychology, or we had things like gardening and basket weaving and, you know, fun things to do too. But we had this catalog that was probably, it was really thick, had hundreds of courses in it that were available. And that's what we did here at Hadley for years and years and years. But about 5 years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we wanted to really understand if what we were doing was helpful and what kind of impact we were having. And so we kind of took a step back and really looked pretty hard at ourselves. And it was a little scary. You know, if you kind of take stock of what's going on, where you're at, who you are, you know, that reflection in a mirror can be scary sometimes if you're truly honest. And it was for us, and we learned a ton about ourselves, but we learned that there's a lot of things that we were doing that just wasn't having the impact that we wanted to. For example, we looked at our courses and we found that outside of Braille, we were getting maybe 1, 2, 3 enrollments in any one of our courses each year. Like our most popular courses would get maybe 3 or 4 enrollments in it a year. And a lot of those folks who are enrolling in the courses, they never completed them. Many of them would kind of along the way just kind of step away, and we just didn't know what happened to them. Even our Braille that we were teaching, we found that about half the people that enrolled in our Braille courses never turned in an assignment. We never heard from them again, which I thought was a big number. Like half the people that enrolled, just we didn't hear from them again. And the way our Braille was set up, it was broken down into 4 different sections, Braille 1, 2, 3, and 4. And those who completed the first lesson, half of them never went on to the second step, the second Braille Literacy 2. And so we saw these big drop-offs of who was, you know, enrolling and who was completing and things like that. And so so we were curious about it. And we wanted to understand it better. So we reached out and we started talking to a lot of our students. You know, we just went right to the source and we asked, hey, can you help us understand this? Is there something that we could be doing differently? And we got some amazing feedback from them. One of the things that we heard was, you know, they liked the idea of academic courses, like learning something, keeping the mind fresh and things like that, and continuing to learn. But they were in the midst of a lot of challenges. And so they really wanted more practical help. Like, you know, it's great that I can learn about the anatomy of my eye, but what I'd really like to understand is how to continue to cook now that I'm losing my vision, or how do I match my socks after doing laundry now that I can't tell the brown and the black apart from one another? These are the things they were asking us for, like practical help for just challenges that they were facing day to day. They also talked about like wanting help, like in the moment, like, you know, like, gosh, it's great that I can learn something and I can take this course, but you know, what I'm going to learn, I won't learn for another 6 to 10 months. That's how long it typically took someone to complete a course. He's like, what I really want is what I'm dealing with now, like in the moment. They wanted on-time learning is what we were being asked to do. And so, and whenever they wanted to, and however they wanted to. Like, we had an enrollment process for most of our courses that was pretty tough. Like, one,
one of our courses had like the 13 steps you had to complete before you could even get started in the course. And so we made it kind of tough for people to even get started, let alone complete a lot of our courses. And then they were talking to us about that. So really kind of in the moment, practical help is what they were asking for. And they also wanted to get started as quickly as possible. And it was interesting. Grading was something that came up too. We didn't even ask about grading, but people felt kind of obligated to tell us their thoughts about being graded every assignment, every course, things like that. And I kind of got it. Many people at Hadley were like, well, how are you supposed to understand your progress and where you need to learn more and deficiencies and things like that? But for me, grading has always been intimidating. And I don't know about you, but I never ran home with my report card in my hand and never went up on the fridge. That was my life. But so I kind of related to a lot of the people that didn't like the idea of grading. That was just something that kept coming up as well. The last piece, I always like to share this. The last piece that I thought was interesting that really came out of a lot of conversations we had with our students was this idea of how they saw us as an organization. We used to be known as Hadley School for the Blind. And we kind of drifted away from that just because people thought we were an actual school and they wanted to come and stay with us. And we've never been that. It's always been from a distance. So we moved to this idea of institute, but now we're kind of shying away from that and just going strictly with Hadley. We're kind of on a first name basis, what we're saying, but it's interesting how people saw our personality. They saw us really much like a school, and the way that we taught, I guess they felt like they were in kind of a lecture hall in a classroom, and we'd be standing in front of them, telling them what they need to know and why they need to know it and things like that. And what we were hearing is people were really wanting us to kind of be more conversational and kind of more back and forth in our education. Not so one-sided, but kind of in this together is what people were sharing with us. One person actually shared with me, I had to follow up with them because we sent a survey had nothing with grading, but they commented so much on it. I had to follow up with them. And they said, yeah, you know, I felt like I was, every time I came to Hadley, I felt like I was sitting in the front of the classroom and you were standing in front of me with a ruler about to slap my hand if I made a mistake or said something wrong, which that was not the feeling we were hoping people were having as they're walking away from Hadley. And so we were on this little quest to find ourselves. And, you know, we wanted to cut up these courses that we had, offer them in more bite-sized pieces that people could digest more easily, more quickly, offer them in the moment, not make it so difficult to get started, and then make it very practical and in the moment learning. And so we wanted to understand better, like, what is it specifically that people are looking for? What kind of help can we offer? And what areas are people looking for help? And that was kind of cool because we reached out again to our students. And at this point, we developed what we call an advisory board. And I think at that point, we had like 500 advisors that were kind of out there across the country responding to surveys. And I was doing a lot of phone calls with them and things like that. And right now we have about 3,500 that are kind of guiding some of the direction that we're moving in Hadley. But it was kind of cool when we reached out to them. It really boiled down to four areas that they really wanted us to focus on. Technology was one of them. And then daily living. They wanted us to try and help them with some of the challenges that come day to day with vision loss. Like all the things that become a little bit more challenging with vision loss, can you help me with those? They wanted to hear from professionals. They wanted to understand what was going on in the community, like the professional community, like what are doctors doing about treatment for my eye condition? What kind of research is going on to advance treatment, things like that. And then they also wanted to be a part of a community. They kept telling us, it's like, you know, I have my friends, I have my family, and they're great, but they just don't get it. Like, When I try to explain to them why it's difficult when they move something in the cupboard to, you know, to a different place and now I can't find it, why that's frustrating. And they just don't understand. So I want to be around people who just get it. And so those are the four areas that we were kind of set out to really focus on. And so with technology, what we decided to do is to reach out to Apple. And we said, hey, can we help people understand all these wonderful features that you build into your products? And can we help them understand what they are and how to use them? And so we were going to develop these little 5 to 10 minute workshops that target specific accessibility features for each one of the products that Apple has available. So we started with the iPhone and we started doing workshops on things like the magnifier or Zoom text or,
contrast, setting the contrast, or things like that. Just all these different features that are built into all these products that Apple has. We want to develop little 5 to 10 minute workshops that explain what they are, how to use them, and how to get to them and how to use them. And so Apple was thrilled and they were all excited about this. And so we started with the iPhone. We developed a lot of them for the iPhone, using Siri, using VoiceOver, how to check your email, how to browse the web, all these different things that, that you can do directly from your smartphone. And then we moved on to the iPad, did the same thing. iWatch, the Apple TV. We're currently working on ones with the MacBook. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit trickier than some of the other ones. So we're still getting that one out to people, the MacBook. But we developed all these. And then we went on to also to reach out to Google to do the same thing for all the Android products. All the low vision features that are built into Android phones, in addition to, TalkBack is their kind of screen reader, voiceover is, it's called TalkBack with Android phones. So how to turn that on and off, how to navigate through that, how to do emails, how to browse the web using TalkBack and things like that. And so we did that for all the Android phones and tablets. And then we reached out to Microsoft and we did the same thing with the Windows operating system and all the Office products like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, things like that. And now we've moved on to doing different apps that are out there. Like we did one for Zoom to help people with understand all the accessibility features with Zoom, whether you're on your phone, you're on your landline, or you're on your computer. There's an app out there that Microsoft put out called Seeing AI. It has all these really cool features to it. So we did a workshop on how to use that and use the different features that are built in. The National Library offers a free digital talking book service for anybody who has a visual impairment. So we did a workshop on how to use this player and how to use the cartridges that work with that player and things like that. So we wanted to take the technology that's out there and put it in the hands of people, or at least teach them what they were and how to use them once they got them. It was interesting. I always like to share these little stories, but Julie Napier is this woman, one of our advisors that I get to talk to every now and then. And she actually lives in Liverpool, which I love because I love the English accent. I'm all things English. I love Harry Potter. I love the British baking show. So I love it when I get a chance to talk to Julie. But she was telling me that her granddaughter actually gave her an iPhone and she just put it on her desk. She's like, I'm not doing anything with this. I can't see it. She said what she explained it every time she picked it up and felt that flat screen, like there's no tactile feel to it. She can't find her way around it all. She's like, Mark, it reminded me of being in an open field where I have no idea which direction I'm facing, what's going on around me, where I'm supposed to go. She's like, it was so scary to me. So her granddaughter kept telling her, you got to just try it. You got to try and figure it out. And so she said, one day she picked up the phone and she said, okay, we either got to become friends or you're going out the window. And so she found these workshops that we have. Douglas Walker at Hadley, he does these workshops, on Apple products. And so and she's like, Mark, you know what it did for me? She's like, it put walls around me. She's like, as I started listening to these and following along with the instruction, I started to feel like there was walls around me and I could feel which way I was moving and which way I was going. She's like, and then I realized what these walls did is they led to rooms where all my friends were and all these amazing things that I enjoyed doing were. And she's like, and it just opened up this new world to me. And that's kind of the idea we were hoping for is just, helping people understand how to use the products that they may already have on them, and understand what the features are that are involved, that are in those products, to be able to help them navigate through them. So that was technology. So we got all these workshops that are available for technology. Daily living was another area we were asked to focus on. And I wasn't entirely surprised by this, particularly those folks who are new to vision loss. You're essentially learning how to do everything completely differently. And so we wanted to be able to offer little tips, little tricks, kind of hints on things that you can do differently, to make things a little bit more easy with day-to-day challenges. For example, we have a series on cooking where we offer little suggestions and little tips on how to pour hot liquids without burning yourself. We have tips on using the stovetop and oven, or using knives safely in the kitchen.
or how to tell when food is fully cooked. We also have like a clothing series. We talk about like ways that you can keep your closet organized, or continue to do laundry, or getting stains out and things like that. Any kind of topic that we thought we could help with, we tried to put together these little hints, little tips, little suggestions that you know, you might not have thought of, but could make a huge difference. And so we've got like a series on putting on makeup. We've got like women's personal care, men's personal care, cleaning your house. I guess, you know, it just goes on. Whatever we could possibly think of, we've got hundreds of these little videos with suggestions on little tips and tricks on ways to kind of continue to do, you know, just do things differently that can make a big difference. And, you know, the idea was really to help people understand that you can continue to stay independent with vision loss. You just have to learn how to do things maybe a little bit differently. And again, another story. I love these stories. I tell these stories because they remind me of why we're kind of doing what we're doing. But there was a woman that I talked to, and I'm not remembering her name right now. I think it was Barbara. I think it was Barbara, but she was sharing with me her story, and she was a psychiatrist, and so she had a very successful career her whole life. But later in life, I think she was like in her 60s or 70s, she was losing her vision. And she says she remembered going to the doctor, and the doctor just telling her, you know, you have this macular degeneration that's going to continue to progress, and, you know, it's going to get more and more difficult for you to see. And that was kind of it. He didn't really tell her where to go or what to do, and she felt a little lost and didn't know what to expect. But she said as she continued to lose more and more vision, she said to me, she explained that the world got smaller and smaller. And she's like, you know, there was a point where I just started not leaving the house anymore. You know, my husband and I used to go on walks all the time, but it was hard to do that now. And it was scary for me. And so I just kind of stuck to the house. And as it continued to progress, she said, I actually just never left my, so the 3 days I never left my room. It's like, it was just familiar. It was safe. I would just stay in my bedroom the whole day. And then she said, you know, one day I found Hadley, and she wanted to take a course that we had called Anatomy of the Eye. So she wanted to understand better what was going on physically with her eye. And instead she found a workshop that we had on doing your laundry. and she learned that, you know, if you safety pin your socks together before you put them in the laundry, you don't have to worry about sorting them and finding the right colors afterwards. And she was like, she said a light bulb went off. I realized that maybe I can still do some of the things I used to do. And so she took our kind of clothing series, and she learned different things. And she said, it gave me confidence to try new things. So I then took your cooking series, and I started trying different things in the kitchen. And she's like, and then later, you know, eventually I was cooking meals for my husband again. We were going to dinner. She's like, it's just, you know, and that was the idea. It's like, start to build confidence so you can continue to remain independent, even with vision loss. So the daily living was another area that we were asked to focus on. So we've got all these workshops in those different areas. Community, one of the things we started doing for community is we developed these things we're calling discussion groups. And they're just Zoom calls. So you can call in on your phone or join on the computer. But once a month, we hold a Zoom call on a particular topic. So for example, we have one called Tech It Out. And it's like the third Thursday of every month at like 7 p.m. Central Time. And all you do is you can jump on this call, and our host, Ricky Enger, who hosts our Tech It Out group, she'll introduce something technology related, the topic technology related. And then she'll talk about how she uses it, things she likes, things she doesn't like, things like that. And then we open it to the group, and people can share their thoughts, ask questions, answer questions, and just spend an hour together kind of talking about a topic that they enjoy. So Tech It Out is our most popular one. I think sometimes we get like 200 people on that call. So Ricky does a great job managing that one, but usually it's about maybe 100, 150, but we've gotten up to 200 people on our Tech It Out call. But we've got several of them. We've got one for Braille called Embracing Braille. So for those folks that are thinking about Braille or learning Braille, they can spend time together. We've got a gardening one called Hadley Growers. We've got a new one we just started called the Book Nook. So it's just a book club. You know, each month they'll pick a book, and then the next month kind of share their thoughts about it. We've got a What's Cooking for sharing tips and tricks in the kitchen or recipes that people like with one another. Got a Travel Talk. People talking about vacations they've been on or places they want to go, or or even maybe challenges with public transportation. It's just all travel related. We've got a resource roundtable. We've got a, did I mention our Hadley Growers? I can't remember the gardening one that we have. But again, these are opportunities to get on a call once a month and spend some time with others in a similar situation, talking about a topic that you might find interesting. They're the same time, each one of them is the same day of the month and the same time each day as well. And it's the same Zoom number and link for every particular meeting. So Tech It Out has the same phone number and same ID every meeting. And I don't know if you're familiar, but Zoom actually has this new feature. It's called a call out feature. And for those folks that have a little bit of trouble like dialing in the phone number and then getting that access number in there before it hangs up on you, we can actually call you now. From the meeting, we can just dial your phone number. All you have to do is answer the phone, press the number one, and you'll be brought directly into the meeting. So you don't have to worry about dialing that phone number and putting in that access code quick enough. So we're hoping that helps with people that have a little bit of trouble with that to join more easily. So the last area we asked to focus on, so we had community, daily living and technology, was this idea of connecting people with what's going on in the professional community. And so we started a podcast we call Hadley Presents. And it's like every other week, usually twice a month, we get a new episode. We have a new episode that we put out there. And we're just interviewing different people that are doing different things. They're recorded, edited, and then put out on the podcast world. So anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find our Hadley Presents. I use my Alexa and just say, hey, Alexa, play the most recent Hadley Presents, and she'll find the most recent one and just keep playing until I tell her to stop. But if you use like Spotify or the Apple has a podcast app, you can find it there too. But the idea was just to get the voice of some of the professionals out to the community. And so we've interviewed we had a retina specialist that talked about some of the research that they're doing for macular degeneration in their clinic down in Florida. We had a retina specialist, or I'm sorry, a glaucoma specialist here in Chicago, where we're located, talking about some of the things that they're doing in their practice to treat glaucoma. We had things like how to visit your doctor safely during COVID was one of them that we put out there early when the pandemic hit. And we've also been reaching out to different people who are doing some really neat things. We had Chad Neesmith, that was his name. He's a world champion blind golfer. And it was really cool. He was sharing his story from going, he was a world-class athlete in high school. And when he was younger, he was being recruited by Alabama for football as a quarterback. And he lost his sight shortly after that. And couldn't play sports anymore until his wife one day told him he needed to get a hobby and it might as well be golf. And so he's like, I guess so. And so he tried it. And now he's a world champion golfer. And so he was sharing his story. We also had a chef, Gina Mitchell, is a classically trained chef. She actually was trained by Julia Childs, and she spent some time with Emeril as well. And so she was sharing her about going from being a sighted chef to now completely blind, and how she continues to cook in the kitchen. And now she holds a Zoom show or a Zoom meeting. I think it's every 3 months or quarterly or something like that, where she does a cooking show for those folks who are visually impaired and teaching them how to do things in the kitchen. So people that are doing some really neat things, and then also some of the professionals we wanted to get out there to folks. And we do that through our podcast, Hadley Presents. We had all this content and we wanted to get it out there to the world. And so we developed our website back in July of, or was it June of last year, we actually launched our site, and it's hadley.edu. And this is where we put all of our content, all of our workshops on daily living, technology, all of our podcasts, all of our discussion groups. And we spent probably the better part of maybe 3 years really going over the site and getting it to a place where we felt like it could be friendly to those who were going to be using it. And so we tested it over and over again, and we got some really great feedback on things that we should be doing with the site to make it as friendly as possible. But one of the things that you'll notice, if you go to hadley.edu, one of the first things that you'll notice is there's this big button on the homepage that says Get Started.
And we're hoping that people can find what they're looking for as quickly as possible, not have to kind of search around for it and realize, like, once I'm there, the first thing to do is to hit this get started button. So if you're wondering, how do I get started? It's right there with this button that says get started. Once you select that, we want to walk people through how to set up the site that's going to be best for their vision. And so we want to get the contrast and the font size set right away. So right after you hit that get started button, you're going to be taken to a page where you can decide what contrast is best for your vision on the site. And you can keep it right where it's at with this black text on white background. You can reverse it to white text on black, white text on black background, or you can go black text on yellow or black text on blue or blue text on yellow. Those are the different contrast options you have available. Once you select one of those, it changes it for the entire site. So everyone on the site that you go is going to be that contrast that you like. And right after you select that, we're going to select the font size. And so you can keep it right where it's at, or you can increase it 100%, or you can increase it 200%. And again, once you select that, it's going to change it for everywhere on the site. So everywhere you go is going to be that large font size. So all the images, all the box, all the text will be enlarged that 100 or 200% if you like it. Then we take you right to the topic areas that we have for you to learn. And again, daily living is one of them. Technology is one of them. We have Braille. That's an option. We're still teaching Braille here at Hadley. And then we have recreation, working, which is kind of employment skills. And then we have adjusting to vision loss. And so this is an area that we're starting to build now. We have one series in there with some workshops that we're getting some great feedback about, actually. Things like coming to grips with vision loss, how to talk to friends and family about your vision loss, how to ask for help when you need it, and how to tell people you don't need help when they're offering it, are some of the workshops that we have in that one. But you would select an area that you're interested in, say, for example, technology, and then you'll be taken to all the series that we have available in that area. So for example, using Siri, sending chats or sending texts or emails or getting online, browsing the web, low vision features in the iPhone or something like that. And then you would select one of the series. And once you select that, you'll be taken to all the workshops that are in that series. So for example, if you're interested in some of the low vision features in the iPhone, you'll find within that series some workshops on like using your magnifier or, setting the contrast or increasing the fonts and things like that. And so once you select one of those workshops that you think would be interesting, you'll be taken to our workshop page. And there you'll find a video screen and you can play that video, a sample of that. We're going to offer a 1-minute sample of that workshop. After about a minute, our chief operating officer, Ed Haynes, is going to interrupt and he's going to talk to you about signing up on our site. And then it's going to take you directly to a sign up page after he's finished. And we've tried to make the sign up pretty easy. If you have a Facebook, Yahoo, or Gmail account, you can select one of those buttons right on the sign up page and it'll link it to that account and use that username and password to log you into our site. So you can choose that, or you can use any email address and any password that you want. After that, we're just going to ask you 3 questions. Your first and last name. Your relation to vision loss, is it you yourself? Are you a friend or family member of somebody who's visually impaired, or are you a professional working with somebody who's visually impaired? After you select that, we're gonna just ask you, how'd you hear about Hadley? And that's it. Once you answer those questions, you're logged in and you have full access to everything that we offer. You'll be brought right back to that workshop page that you started so you can continue to watch the entire workshop. Also, once you're logged in, every time you're gonna stay logged in. And so every time you come back, it'll be that same contrast, that same font size that you prefer. You don't have to go through those steps again. And in fact, every time you come back, you're going to be brought back to a personalized homepage. And so it'll say like, welcome back, Mark, if your name's Mark. And it'll have like, if you're in the middle of a workshop, there'll be a heading that says continue. And you can just pick up right where you left off so you don't lose what you were doing before you left. There'll also be, if there's any discussion groups that you prefer, you can sign up for alerts on those discussion group pages and they'll show up right on your homepage and it'll show you the next time they're offered, what the topic is. If it happens to be that day that it's offered, you can join directly from your homepage at hadley.edu once you're logged in. It'll also start to show you workshops that you've completed. And so you can quickly find those if you want to revisit them and watch them again. And it'll also, we're going to start to put on there what's new.
So if we add a new workshop, or if we add a new series of workshops, that'll be directly on the homepage as well. So it's really a nice place to find everything that is kind of important to you as your homepage. So signing up is helpful to kind of keep navigating the site, and it keeps you logged in. The other reason why we really want people to sign up on our site, though, is if we can show a certain number of people that are using the site are visually impaired themselves, it opens up a lot of funding sources for us. And we can apply for different grants and loans and things like that. And then what that does is allows us to keep everything that we do free of charge here at Hadley. And so there's no cost associated with anything that we do. But part of the reason that is because we're able to, you know, find statistics and information about who's using our information. And that's because people are signing up. Also, once you're signed up and logged in, again, you have full access to everything, which includes all of our workshops. But all of our workshops are transcribed. And so if you prefer transcripts, they're right there on the workshop page, and you can print those off. You can download this if you want. They also have like a resource tab. And so if we highlighted something in the workshop that we thought might be helpful, like say, for example, a cutting board in our cooking series, we'll have a link right to that cutting board where you can find out more information about it, how to purchase it, how much it costs, things like that. There's also on every page a heading that says Ask the Experts. And if you have any questions or something doesn't make sense in the workshop, or you just want to share your thoughts about it, there'll be a phone number that you can call right on that workshop page, and you'll be able to talk to one of the experts here at Hadley who created that workshop. And so they're available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. to answer any questions that you have. You just pick up the phone, and there'll be one of like maybe three or five people that were involved in that workshop that will answer it and try to answer any questions or comments that you have about that workshop. So you have full access to all of the Hadley staff. In addition, if you're ever confused or don't know what to do or have any questions while you're just on the site at all, there's a little help button that travels along every page in the bottom right-hand corner of our site. And all you have to do is select that, and it'll pull up our 800 number. So you can reach out and call us Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and talk to anyone at our help desk. And they'll try to answer any questions that you have. Also with that help button, there's a fully accessible chat feature. And so if you want to just send a quick chat, you can do that too. You just you type it in, and we'll be available again to answer any questions quickly through a chat session Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Two more things. I just want to make sure I mention. We are continuing to teach Braille here at Hadley, both for those who are sighted and for those who want to learn by touch as well. We learned that a lot of people who are taking Braille here at Hadley actually had some usable vision. We had a lot of folks who had some vision, but were anticipating maybe further vision loss and wanted to learn Braille before that happened. And then we also had a lot of professionals coming to learn Braille at Hadley. And so on our website, you can learn Braille. You can learn your numbers, your letters, punctuation, currency, directly from our site. We call it Braille for Our Sighted Learners. And we're getting some great feedback about it. It's kind of new to us. We just launched it maybe about 7 or 8 months ago. But it's kind of like a game. You're dragging and dropping things. You're getting rewarded for answers and things like that. But we have some people that are sharing their learning their entire alphabet in a matter of hours and retaining it and enjoying it and having fun doing it. So we have this new series for those that have enough vision to be able to get around it. It's probably not going to teach you enough Braille to write a novel or read a novel, but it'll teach you enough to be able to use, you know, kind of your day to day. Like, you know, if you can't see the glare on the ATM or something, you can, you know, find the numbers there and the Braille numbers and be able to read it more easily, or in the elevator. A lot of people talk about, you know, the elevators are so dark, they can't read the numbers in the elevator. So knowing enough Braille to know which number you're pressing. And so for those folks that have enough vision, I'd encourage you to take a look at that. It's we're getting some great feedback. We still teach Braille the same way we always have. For those that want to learn by touch, you just give us a call. We'll send you out all the material. We'll have an instructor that's available to help you with any questions and guide you along the way and tell you, you know, and help you learn Braille by touch as well. So we still do that the same way we always have, but we have this new series as well. And then lastly, we do know not everybody is online. Like, we know that it's not easy. Not everybody has the technology, and not everybody's comfortable getting online or even has the vision to be able to do it. And so almost all of our workshops, we can send out in the mail too. And so if you'd rather we send you something in the mail, we can send it out in large print, in Braille, or in audio. And then audio, we can send it on a flash drive to you, like a thumb drive, or we can put it on a cartridge that works with the digital talking book player that works from the National Library Service. If you don't know about that or have one of those, we can help you order one too. It's a free service for anybody with a visual impairment. At the National Library will send out a, what they call a digital talking book player, and we can send you a cartridge that has the audio for all the content on our workshops. So if you're not online, we're happy to send any of that out to you through the mail. You just give us a call and we'll talk to you about workshops we have available and find something that might be interesting. Okay. Did I leave enough time for questions? I need to take a breath here for a second. So
we have time for questions, and there's so much material here. Surely there must be some questions, and there's so many options. It sounds good to me. So if you have a question, raise your hand, you raise your hand and we'll try to get to you.
Patricia has her hand raised. I'm going to ask her to unmute. Patricia, please unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. This is Patricia, South Carolina. I've been using Hatley's Learning for about a year and a half now, and I have thoroughly enjoyed participating in the discussions, listening to webinars, podcasts, and the website has changed and is very, very friendly. It's just, actually, I just got an email saying that they changed it so that we can get to the discussions a lot easier and stuff. So it is very easy to use. It is very personalized. I can choose any area that I want to learn. And the webinars are short and efficient, very efficient. I have used the information a lot. It's very personalized also because I have fun with the Braille, for low vision people. Lots of fun. I'm taking a Braille class and it reviews what I have learned and I thoroughly enjoy it. And the most thing that I like is about the personalized aspect of it is that once I take a class or listen to a webinar or anything, I get an email immediately after I do it. Somebody named Julie Tai, I think.
Julie Tai is she's our president and CEO.
She emails me a lot because I take a lot of classes with you all. And I love that because, you know, if I have anything that I want to say about what I just did or heard, I can just reach out to her because she will email every single time. She'll email me. Maybe it's because I'm an advisor, but I don't know. Yeah. But she emails me.
Oh, you're an advisor? Oh, Patricia, you're an advisor. Yay.
Yeah, I love this so well. So I'm an advisor, but Julie always just emails me afterwards and asks me what I liked about it or what else can you help me with. And I'll email her back and she's so personalized. So I love Hatley Learning. I just wanted to make that comment.
No, I appreciate that. It's so good to hear because, I mean, we're wanting feedback as much as possible. You know, we want to make sure we're moving in the right direction and keep moving in the right direction. And so the only way we feel like we know if we can do that is by hearing from those who are learning and using Hadley. So that's really helpful. And I'm so glad to hear that, Patricia. Thanks for sharing.
And now Ursula has her hand raised.
Hi. Oh, do I have to unmute?
No, you're fine. We hear you.
Okay. Can you give us that 800 number? I really would like to do Braille by touch. And how exactly do you do that?
Yeah, I would encourage you, you know, are you able to get online pretty easily? Is it Ursula? Is that right?
Yeah, not that easily. Does it all work with VoiceOver?
It does, yes. Yeah, everything works with VoiceOver. And we test it with all screen readers. So,
press spacebar 1410602.
But, yeah, so what it does, it just walks you through, like, so you can visually see what the cells are on the Braille cell, you know, which cells are there in the Braille cell. And then there's a way that you can also write Braille just through your computer. So we teach you how to read and write contracted Braille directly from the site.
But this is, I want to learn the touch Braille because I don't have enough vision.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so all you have to do is give us a call, the 800 number. I'll give you here in a second. And and you'll get our help desk, and usually it's Ann or Georgette that will answer the phone, and And they'll be able to enroll you in our Braille, our tactile Braille series. It's a Braille for touch, Braille by touch. And then we'll mail you out the information. And then you just kind of correspond from a distance through email, things like that, phone, things like that. So now I do want to let you know, so we are right now testing a new tactile series, a new Braille series by touch that we're super excited about. It's probably not going to be ready though until like December, maybe January. So you're welcome to get started now and then we can switch you over later. But I think it's going to be really cool. We're developing a new way that we want to teach Braille for those who are learning by touch. And it's probably going to be ready in the next few months.
I'm ready.
let me give you the 800 number here that you should call. Thank you. And again, we're Central Time, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. They should be available. But it's 1-800.
Okay.
323-423-4238. Yeah.
Thank you.
Just so you have it. Yeah. 1-800-323-4238.
Terrific. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Okay. Dana has a question, please.
Oh.
Yes. Thank you. I have enjoyed listening to your comments. However, I have a concern. I was a student in the Braille music program and I did complete the course. In fact, I completed it twice, once in college and once recently or before it was stopped. There is no source that I can find that teaches Braille music at no cost. There are people that offer to teach it, but it's all paid for. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about trying to make some type of seminars for this, and if there's any way to get the books that were the teaching tools, because they were excellent. And I just loaned my first volume to somebody, and I hope to heavens I get it back because there's no way to get these anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've actually heard quite a few people talk about our Braille music series, our Braille music courses that we offered. Now, some of the courses we actually, we gave to different organizations. I know like I think Perkins or something like that, we gave some information to that they could have for some of their students. I could find out for you if we have any of that material available any longer, or if we pass it on to somebody else, I can offer it. Yeah. Now, what we're doing right now, though, is because we, you know, again, we learned a lot about ourselves and we did this kind of self-reflection and we learned that a lot of people that were learning Braille through us weren't following through, like they weren't completing the course. And that was the first thing we really wanted to try and understand and try to improve what we were doing here at Hadley, which is why we've been dedicating so much time the last probably 4 years to our Braille by the sighted learner and now our Braille for the tactile learner, learners by touch. And so, so we're about ready to launch this new Braille series for the tactile learner, like in December, January. And that's been kind of a long road. So I don't know what's going to be to come after that. Like once we get that done, maybe the Braille team is going to start focusing on, you know, music Braille by music or music by Braille. So I don't know what's in the future, but I know like right now that's what we've been kind of dedicated to is improving our Braille teaching. So that might be something in the future. I don't know. But in the meantime, if you want to send me an email or give me a call, I can give you my email address or my phone number. Which would you prefer?
Alta, mute, currently unmuted.
Well, is your phone number different than the regular Hadley number?
I have a direct line that you can call. You can call the 800 number and ask for me. I'm the only mark at Hadley, so they'll find me.
Well, that'll probably
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, just give the 800 number a call, ask for me, and I'll try to check down and see if we have that information available for you anywhere.
Okay. And Mark, this is Miss Ruth, one of the co-hosts. I don't know if you remember me.
Miss Ruth.
I was one of your advisors, and I have your the module that I tested and critiqued in front of me, and I think you made great progress on your site. I can see things have changed. And I was wondering, I did have a question from one of my other groups, and I emailed you, and you did respond, but I'd like to share it here. You're not discontinuing Braille instruction. That's what somebody asked me.
Gosh, no. Oh, no, by no means. We're actually been working we've been working quite a bit on trying to improve how we teach Braille. Yeah. Braille is a cornerstone and a foundation of what we do here at Hadley. It's how we got things started and what we want to continue to do.
and we just want to do it better. And
right,
so Ms. Rose, yeah, you were involved in some of our testing for the new Braille that we're trying to put out there. And we actually have another version based on some of the feedback that you offered along with a couple others.
Okay.
And so, yeah, no, you were wonderful and gave us such great feedback. So we've made some improvements. I should send you out some of the new stuff.
Yeah, please.
but we're also testing this, you know, there's an audio component to the instructions as well.
Right.
And we've always relied on those cartridges for the digital talking book player. And so for some people, especially those who are new to vision loss, I think it's kind of tricky to get around those cartridges and that player and things like that.
Right.
So we're testing now a phone system where you can just dial in a phone number and get all the audio instructions just over the phone that you can use along with your booklet that we would mail you.
Oh, great
so
idea.
That's the next phase of testing right now that we're involved in. Yeah, we're going to, I hope it works.
Yeah, please send me whatever you have next. I'd love to be a part of that. It's a great initiative.
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, so good to hear your voice.
Oh, you too, Mark. There's no other questions right now. Let me see. Anyone else have questions for Mark? I think we're good.
Well, my goodness, there are many, many options available to anyone who wants to participate in the programs at Hadley. So those are all good things to know. And of course, as Judy has reminded everybody, all of this information will be available in the resource guide or the resource list that we're going to send to you, because you are part of the retreat. So you'll have all this information in due time.
This is Judy. I have a thought to maybe make you think about, Mark. You know, you began your story. I take it, was his name William Hadley?
Was William Hadley.
Yep. I figured it was Hadley. anyway, you said that he became blind, so he had to stop teaching. And in 1920, he probably thought he had to stop teaching.
That's true. Yep.
He thought that he did, but he didn't have to stop teaching. There are lots of blind teachers teaching sighted children, you know, the way he did. And so,
yeah.
But we're probably lucky he didn't know that.
That's a great point. No, Judy, sorry. Yeah, no, that is a great point.
Yeah.
I should definitely rethink how I share that. but I think, yeah, I think you're right.
That's,
I don't know that he felt like he had options. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It probably was true then.
Maybe. Yeah. That's a great point.
Well, if we truly have no more questions, I simply want to thank you, Mr. Arneson, for being here this afternoon and sharing information about Hadley. And I want to thank all of our students who have participated in this segment of our retreat. And I hope, as I've said many times, that you have found information that's going to be useful to you as you go along. So with that, Judy, I'm going to give it back to you.
Okay. Yes, thank you, Mr. Arneson.
Thank you.
I was very impressed how much material you had, and you hardly took a breath.
I know, I felt it, but
yeah, you did.
I'm breathing
well.
Now again.
Thank you.
thanks so much, everybody.
All right, we can stop this recording, Ms. Ruth, if you, or whoever's doing it.